Believing the old rug of cross too. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. Good Lord willing, there's a Bible Readers Banquet in January. Brother Butch, we can't do anything either. Would you pray for us? Amen. Thank you, Brother Butch. We've been in the book of Genesis for a while now. In chapters 1 and 2, we saw the creation, God's account of creation. And those two chapters are true. That's the Word of God. Then we saw the corruption of all things, how man had a large fall, and we all fell. When Adam fell, we were all inside Adam, and we all fell. It was a great fall. And those chapters 3 through 5, they're true. They're the Word of God. And then we saw that God had to condemn everything in 6 through 9. Saw the flood, stuff like that. And those chapters are true. They're the Word of God. And then in 10 and 11, we saw the Tower of Babel and man gets confused and been confused ever since. And those first 11 chapters of the Word of God are true. And I don't know why, but the enemy hates those 11 chapters maybe more than the rest of it. But I'm just going to tell him every week that that's the Word of God and that's true. And then we moved up to the patriarchs then, and we've been looking at Abraham. Kind of finished him up there a week or two ago. But that stuff overlaps and intertwines. And we saw Abraham was the first patriarch. And then we got to looking at Isaac and Rebekah there last week. And today we're in chapter 26. And we have seen a little bit about Isaac already. In 22, we saw he was a submissive son. And Isaac has some real highlights in his life. We'll see some more of them today. But nevertheless, I'm going to go ahead and say this one more time. He's a great son, or a mediocre son of a great father, and a mediocre father of a great son. And I only say that. I know he did some great things. We'll explain some later. But I'm basing that on the number of verses about Isaac. For instance, in chapter 22, he really only had about 4 verses. In chapter 24, he gets about 5 verses. There we saw the gentle groom. He's standing by the field. And then in chapter 25, he's also a praying parent. That's about 6 or 8 verses. And really, you could get him all in one chapter if you wanted to. I don't really want to. I'm not against him. We're going to learn something from him today. Something positive, I hope. Then he's a copycat in 26 today, we'll see. And then he's also, though, a willing worker. And part of the reason I say that is next week, I know what's coming up. He's going to be a frustrated father. But let's look at 26 now, the copycat here. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I'll probably get tangled up a little bit. But Isaac falls in those generational sins that Marvin Smith explained to us, like I repeat the sins of my father. I probably even go farther, like heaven forbid if my dad drank beer, then I'd drink liquor. But we go down the same road, same direction, and that happens a lot. And we'll see some verses on this here in a minute. But Isaac is following his father. And it did almost exactly the same thing. We'll see in a little bit. And you remember that. Isaac lived longest of all the 4 patriarchs, yet there is less recorded of him. Like I said, maybe 1 chapter. And there's pluses and minuses. Isaac experiences less of Abraham's triumphs, but he also experiences less of Jacob's failures. Here's one we saw Isaac last week. Looky here, for one thing, he's a prayer warrior. Back in 2463, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Well, I need to learn that from Isaac. You know, from almost everybody, you can learn what to do or what not to do.
Right.
A lot of times it's what not to do. Well, here he is praying. Abraham was a man of the altar. Jacob had a tent. And Isaac, a well. He stayed by the well. The first thing said of Isaac after he was bound on the altar in chapter 22, Abraham's Calvary, was he was he. Let's look at that. It's in 24:62. It says he came to a well here. Isaac came from the way of the well Lahori, or however you say that, for he dwelt in the south country. You see it again in 25:11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahori, or however you say that. He lived by the well. We'll see, that's a good thing. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit operating through the Scriptures. Now, we're not going to go through the whole water lesson again, but some of you remember that the water is a picture of the Bible. And let's look at this here in 26:19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. A well is different from a cistern. We have a cistern, or we had when I was a kid, under our back porch. We blocked it up, cemented it off. A cistern, the water will get stagnant and turn green. But a well has something coming into it and something flowing out of it. And this is springing water. This is living water. Let me just show you my new memory verse. We might make it a memory verse this morning. I found this. I don't know why. I just found it this morning. How about Job 36? They say you're not supposed to say that because we've read it before. It become real to me this morning. How about that? Job 36, look at here, verse 3. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I just go ahead and tell you, the one that wrote this is not from around here. He's from far off. That's not F-I-R-E, that's afar. It's a far distance, it's a long ways away. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, that's not all, and will ascribe righteousness to my capital M maker, big maker. When I was a kid, I remember them talking about their maker. Their maker, and we've kind of forgot that God. You know, that's a lot better than evolution. To know who your maker. If you know your maker, know who he is, know who made you, that's a pretty good deal. And will ascribe righteousness unto him. I'll go ahead and tell you this morning, if you need some righteousness, I know where you can get it. It's from my maker. Because I don't have any. I got what little bit I got from him. When Jesus moved in my heart, the Spirit of Jesus moved in my heart, that's where righteousness came from. I'm going to ascribe all righteousness to my maker. To my maker. Isaac, he lived by the well. He liked wells. Let's look at it again in 26. Look in verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. We need to dig some wells again. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. He digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Stopped them means they threw dirt in them. They stopped them up. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerah did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. See, the world tries to claim our water. Matter of fact, they make their own versions of it. The Philistines do. The water's ours, and he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well for they that and for that they strove not. They threw with the striving now. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Then verse 25, and he built an altar there, called upon the name, this is after he goes into the land, called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. He knew that water was imperative for life. And we saw that in the water lesson. It's imperative for human life, for spiritual life, animal life, physical life. You've got to have water. Plants have to have water. They absorb their food and nutrients up through the ground. No, none of this water we've been having for a month. About August, we're going to need it. The plants are going to need water. That's how, no water, no life, no power.
Right.
Without this book, there's no power. There's no life without the water. Lahori means him that liveth and seeth me. Talking about the ever-living and ever-present God. And where we find him today is in the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God is our water that keeps us alive. It supples up the joints, keeps the cells. Every living cell is a large percent water, 75% water or something. Every cell in your body, and we need water. The health book says 8 glasses a day. We could go with 8 verses or 8 chapters, whatever. If you just got saved, 8 verses maybe. Now, and let's read 26:1 again. Like we kind of said, Isaac has some ups and downs in his life. And here, I hate to tell you, but in 26:1, he's going to get away from the well. Example for us what not to do. Us believers like to do that. We like, I don't know why, we like to get away from it. And there was a famine in the land, not just of food, but of water. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, like I said, I couldn't learn a lot about Gerar. I could find it on the map, but John Yates helped me out the other night. He said that's the Gaza Strip. Yeah. So it's really, he really hadn't went very far. You can't call it Israel yet in the days of Abraham, because he hadn't run the enemies out yet and claimed it and occupied the land yet. But he's really not even outside of Israel. This Gaza Strip is what John Yates said. He said that's where Gerar is. And we move away from the Word of God and the grace of God and His mercies, and we're going to be in trouble. Brother Rick will be in trouble. It'll be a total disaster, is what it'll be. But anyway, Isaac here, he lands halfway between Canaan. And again, we call it Canaan land today. We call Israel Canaan land, but they haven't run the Canaanites out yet. In the last chapter, Abraham didn't want a wife for his son in Canaan because the Canaanites occupied it then. So Isaac lands here in chapter 26, halfway between Egypt and Israel, or the promised land, if you will. He's in a backslidden state, halfway. He's in a halfway house, and he's there for a long time. Look in verse 8. And it came to pass when he'd been there a long time. I know y'all know this. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, keep you longer than you wanted to stay. He was there a long time. He's repeating the generational sins of his father. Chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And again, Marvin Smith explained this much better than I can. But I do know we repeat ourselves. Genesis 20 and verse 1 and 2. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned. Sojourn is supposed to be a vacation. It's not supposed to be a long time. But he's in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So again, Abraham does almost the exact same thing, almost exactly. Or Isaac does almost the same things his daddy did. Now let me ask you this. How come we imitate the vices and weaknesses of our parents? Why don't I imitate the virtues and strengths? Why do I have to go that direction? Although Abraham and Isaac had different personalities, different characters, they both yielded to the same temptation. Now also we need to remember, this is not a hard, fast rule. I don't have to commit the sins of my parents. I can break the chain. You can come to Calvary and break the chain. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to, just normally we do. And don't forget, we're all kin to Adam.
Yes, sir.
I got to work against it. I got to work against the flesh. When the famine arose, both fled to man for help. Abraham and Isaac. And each one was afraid to own his wife. O-W-N, to own up and say, yes, that's my wife. I can't really comprehend that, but that's what they did. Verse 12. Well, let me read down through here. Let's go ahead. Let me read 2:12 through 12. Starting in verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell the Gaza Strip, if you will. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. Now don't forget that. We're coming back to it. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thee, unto thy seed, all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she's my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. How saidest thou, she is my sister? Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. How in the world could that happen, that the Lord blessed him? Well, just like us. I mess up all the time, and God keeps blessing me. I didn't deserve to ride over here this morning. I didn't deserve to have a tank full of gas. I didn't deserve to have my banana and peanut butter and a cup of coffee this morning. I didn't deserve that. In my Bible, verse 3 and verse 12 are straight across from each other. One column and the other column. And I can draw one line across there. And verse 3 says, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. And right across to verse 12, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 12 happened because of verse 3.
Yes.
It wasn't because of anything good Isaac done.
Right.
And I'm here this morning because of verse 3. It's nothing good that I did.
Yeah,
it's still grace and mercy. Verse 3 says, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. Verse 12 says, and the Lord blessed thee. Let me read it one more time. Verse 3 says, I will be with thee and will bless thee. And verse 12 says, and the Lord blessed him. Yeah. Once it was out of the Lord's mouth, it's a done deal. He's going to bless him. And guess what? He done said he's going to bless us. Right. Has nothing to do with whether we're good or bad. Has nothing to do with maybe I kept one or two commandments. Yeah. Maybe you kept one or two commandments once in a while.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with that. The Lord said He'd bless us. The Lord said He'd provide for us. Provided salvation and all kinds of other stuff with it. It happens in spite of everything. Because of verse 3 is Hebrews 10:23. Let's look at that.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10:23. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. That's why we're here this morning, because He's faithful. It's not because we're faithful. I'm not faithful. I'm unfaithful. But God's faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Matter of fact, He ain't good just once in a while. He's good all the time. And it's because of that right there, because He said He would be. It's not because of something that we do. He doesn't love us more when we're good or less when we're bad. See, I haven't even come up to mediocre yet. I'm kicking Isaac and I'm not even mediocre.
Yeah, I understand.
Look at this. Look at 13 now. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Well, I haven't become mediocre, let alone very great. I may have to quit saying Isaac is mediocre. Because the Bible says right here he's very great. He's very great. That's not me. Not only that, He's forward. What's forward, Brother Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked. I had to look it up. How about this? It means near. How you doing so far?
Yeah.
Wow. It means ready. Eager. How you doing?
Yeah.
It means bold. Forward means confident. Advanced. How about this, girls? Get ready. Somebody go get Kim. It means accelerate.
Yeah.
Accelerate. Forward means accelerate. Isaac accelerated. He accelerated. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. The world envied him. See, I'm not even coming close to Isaac. Not even coming. I can't be kicking Isaac. Let's look at 1 through 5 here. Now, I'm going to say again next week, I'm probably going to say again that Isaac's mediocre, because I done read chapter 27, and he don't finish right. I hate to tell you this. The last 43 years of his life, he does nothing. And we don't want to do that.
Right.
We ought to be able to get the lesson there. Now, Isaac's deception concerning Rebekah. He was like his father, but worse. Abraham told a half lie. Sarah was his half-sister. Isaac told a whole lie.
Yeah.
See, we always get worse. Like I said, if my daddy drank beer, I drank liquor. That's the way it normally goes. You can break the chain. You don't have to.
Yeah. Amen.
It's important to be occupied with and guided by the Word of God. To stay by the well. How about that? Isaac didn't stay by the well. Brother Rick needs to stay by the well. Isaac's getting ready to learn a hard lesson. He should have learned it from here and not have to learn it by experience. But But I'm so bad. I'm always stumping my toe on the same rock, catching my pitchfork on the same place. He lived in a halfway house to the world, as close to the world as possible, and it was for a long time. It was unnecessary. I make a lot of mistakes on your handout, but your handout has a sentence there that should read like this. It was unfair to be resentful to a king, King Abimelech, who believed God more than Isaac believed God. That's what your sentence should say. It says unfair to be, anyway, it blames God instead of Isaac. Your handout should say it's unfair to blame a resentful king who believed God more than Isaac believed God. Isaac should have done better. He should have known better. Okay, let's go back. I think we're on 14. How about 15? We're on 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. See, the unbelieving Philistines, they didn't want the water for themselves, but they didn't want anybody else to get it either. Just like a kid in a sandbox, playing with the dump truck and the loader and the shovel. They don't want it unless the other kids got it. They didn't want the water. They didn't want anybody else to have it. They stopped up the source of life and refreshment. 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. God was talking to Isaac through Abimelech. It's happened to me, I don't want to say many times, all the time, but sometimes I've been talking to a stranger, don't even know me, and they say something, and I know that's God talking to me. I've been rebuked by a stranger. How about that? Doesn't even know me.
Yeah.
I have been. Let's look at 17 now. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gera and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Now every generation has got to learn these truths for theirself and reproduce them. Have to dig the well again and reinforce them. What are you talking about, Brother Rick? I'm talking about like the virgin birth. We need to learn this and believe it for ourselves. Every generation's got... We're one generation away from extinction. We've got to teach that to our children. What other well, Brother Rick? How about the sinless life?
Yeah.
Jesus was born of a virgin. Some of the versions say in Isaiah, young woman, when it should say virgin. There's a big difference between a young woman and a virgin.
Yeah.
The versions don't want the Bible. They don't want the Word of God, the version people, and they don't want you to have it either. We need to relearn about the sinless life.
Yeah.
His hands never stole a cookie. He never told a lie. His eyes never looked at a Playboy magazine. He never disobeyed his parents.
Right.
He lived a sinless life because we couldn't, and most of the time we don't want to.
Right.
He did. Don't worry about it. He did. The substitutionary death. I'm glad that I have a substitute. A perfect sinless substitute. If you don't know who that is, it's Jesus.
Amen.
You need Jesus in your heart if you don't have Him. Because we don't stand a hope without Him. We have no hope without Him. No hope. No hope. Not a little bit of hope. We have no hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. And the resurrection. We need to redig those wells that Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. That He's God. Jesus is God. If we believe Buddha was God, we'd be Buddhists. We don't believe that. The reason we don't believe it, the well don't teach it.
Right.
The well teaches that Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. Jehovah God come down from heaven. We need to redig it. We need to say it often. We need to teach it to our children, to this generation, that Jesus is God. That's why we're called Christians. We believe Christ is God. We need to redig the well of the blood atonement, that the blood washes away our sins. They're not. That doesn't say that in the versions. Not in the versions. In Colossians 1:14, they take the blood out. The best way to check a version of the truth is to look at Colossians 1:14. Sister Kim taught me that. They take the blood out.
Right.
We need to redig the wells of blood atonement. The blood washes away the sin. We need to redig the wells of ascension. That this same Jesus in Acts 1, this same Jesus that you see leaving, He's coming back. Guess what? He's still coming. He's still coming. The second coming, we need to redig that well. He's coming back. But hopefully we get done. Morals, clean living, taking the high road. The laws of our land are based on this well. We need to get back to it. Some want to kill the Constitution. We need to get back to Revelation. Maybe that. But the whole thing is a revelation from God. This well is a revelation from God. God spoke to man. And then inspiration, man put it on the paper. God told him what part to put on the paper. And then preservation. We need to redig the well that God preserved this thing. And illumination. This morning, if He speaks to you from, let's say, Job 36:3, that you're going to fetch your knowledge from afar. You're not going to get it around the corner anymore or downtown. And if He speaks to you, then that's illumination. And God showed you then. Let me just say it one more time. In 1850, there was two crooks that manufactured a Greek that never existed before.
That's right.
They spent 20 years changing it from Greek to English. It wouldn't sell in Europe. In 1901, they brought it here, and there have been all kinds come off of that. And they'll tell you they're easier to read, but they changed them on purpose. The crooks changed it on purpose in the Greek to change the doctrine. And all your versions come out of that. I'm going to say all of them, even though they say one did not. I know for sure this one didn't. This one goes back to the spring. It wasn't invented in 1850. This one goes back to the spring. Okay, it was running water. Springing water in the well. Those the versions are dead.
That's right.
This is living water. This
Amen.
Is living water. Isaac was faithful to dig the wells. It's a high point of his life. Abraham built altars. Jacob lived in a tent. Isaac digged wells. Let's look at it now. We're up to about verse 23 maybe. No, we're on 20 here. We're on 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which their father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gera did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water's ours." You know, they'll say, the version people will say, we cause confusion. Saying King James only. I come to tell you, before 1850, back to the spring, there was one. From 1611 till 1981, there was one English. One English Bible. If you said Bible, everybody knew which one it was. They still ought to.
Yeah, think about it.
Now these Johnny come latelys are saying we're causing confusion. We got here first. We got the well of springing water. It's what we've got. The Lord gave it to us.
Amen.
And the herdmen of Gerar strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water's ours." And he called the name of the well Essek because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. For that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Watch this, verse 23. He, being Isaac, went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him. The first night he turns and goes back home where he was supposed to, God appeared to him.
Yeah, that's good.
And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. He made an altar first, then he pitched the tent, then he digs another well. 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Azusa, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Do you know you're the best Christian that someone knows?"
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
You're the most faithful Bible believer that somebody knows.
Right, that's right.
Abimelech knew it. They recognized it, that God had blessed him and God was with him. Isaac had suffered wrong meekly. On down through here, let's look. And he didn't do nothing, but not this bad, not for them to hate him. "They sent me and have sent me away from you, and they said, 'We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee.' And we said, 'Let there be now an oath betwixt us and betwixt us and thee, let us make a covenant with thee that thou wilt do no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of God.'" See, somebody's saying that about you, that you're the blessed of God. Somebody's looking up to you. "And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink." Isaac fed those he knew hated him. "And they rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.'" I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I found water.
Yeah.
I found knowledge from a far place. I fetched knowledge from a far place. November 16th, 1974, I found water. I found water.
Amen.
Thankful for the water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. I assume Sheba means we have found water. A little bit of sad note here on the end. 34 and 35, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. Esau marries a Hittite. It didn't happen like chapter 24. And Bashma, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Not only that, he marries two Hittites, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. It'll happen every time.
Yeah.
Isaac was careless about his children. He failed in this matter of marriage to watch over his children as Abraham did. One more verse and we'll quit, or section. Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 4. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and shall cast out many nations. Remember, this hadn't happened yet. The Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and Canaanites, Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall... thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they, he goes ahead and tells us why. For they will take away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly.